Brother Gary, good to see you, brother. God is gracious, merciful. I was thinking about something Paul said here, and I would have found it earlier, but I left my Bible up here. So I'm just going to look for it. So everybody, just hang on for a second. I was thinking of these scriptures. It says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 25, "Yet I considered it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, fellow worker and fellow soldier, but your messenger and the one who ministered to my needs, since he was longing for you all and was distressed because you had heard that he was sick. For indeed he was sick, almost unto death, but God had mercy on him. And not only on him, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow." God has been gracious to Gary and his family and to all of us. And I think we should just go ahead and open in prayer before we go any further. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much, God, already for your blessing here tonight. We thank you for the time of worship, God, as we honor and praise the name of the one who loved us and gave himself for us. Thank you, God, for loving us even when we were ungodly. And thank you for drawing us to yourself, helping us, God, to believe and to turn away from sin so we could receive salvation, so we could receive the gift of eternal life in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your great love for us. Thank you, Father, for access to the throne of grace where we come to you and seek help in our time of need. And I thank you for hearing our prayers. I remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ who said, "I know that you always hear, but I said this for the people around me. You always hear us, Father, and we thank you. And we thank you for blessing Gary. Thank you for blessing his treatments. Thank you for providing for his needs. And we thank you, Lord, that he's here with us tonight. Today has been a great day in the house of the Lord, Father. We thank you for it. And I pray, Father, you'll continue to bless this time as we look into your word. I'm thinking of others, even now, God, that we're at church today that we haven't seen in a while, and I thank you. Thank you. As we were singing, God, you're always working. You're always working. And my prayer is you'll help us to trust you, even when things don't look the way we want them to. We know you're working. Thank you, God. Thank you for working on our behalf, doing the things that we can't do for ourselves. Thank you for being gracious. We love you so much. Thank you for loving us first. And we pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, that's good enough for tonight. Oh, and all the excitement. I forgot to tell you. I didn't do it on purpose, but Pastor came down with a fever this afternoon. That's why he's not here. So please, pray for your pastor. Father, please bless Pastor Angelo. So I was, Pastor called me this afternoon. That's always exciting. And I just been, I've been praying and going to do something, but that last song really struck me. Maybe we could just talk about this. Who the Son sets free is free indeed. Let's turn in our Bibles to John chapter 8, verse 31. Like Jen said, you're studying all the time. You've got something to say. You know it. But there was something I had been looking into a couple weeks ago, and that song really reminded me of that. So maybe we can talk about this for a minute. John chapter 8, verse 31. "Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, 'If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.' They answered him, 'We are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free?'" Such a strange thing to say, because they were under Roman rule at that time. Strange thing to say. But Jesus gets right to the point. Verse 34, "Jesus answered them, 'Most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin.
And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. So let's talk for a minute about freedom in Christ. Freedom in Christ. Without Jesus Christ, you've come to learn and know that without Jesus Christ, you were dead in your sins and your trespasses. You were without hope, without God in the world. And the wrath of God, John the Baptist says in John 3, the wrath of God was abiding above you. It's a very well-known sermon from back in the day. It said, sinners in the hands of an angry God. When we're without Christ and without hope, we're under God's wrath and it's hanging above us, ready to fall if we were to die in our sins. But praise the Lord, it's not God's will that any man perish. And so, not only did God so love the world that he sent his one and only Son to die for our sins and to rise from the dead so that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. But even more than that, in his love, God has drawn us to himself. Just going on the fly here. I love it. Just going on the fly. Check this out. Let's see. Jeremiah 31:3 says, the Lord has appeared of old to me, saying, yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you. Jeremiah 31:3. In his love, God is drawing us to himself. You have to understand that no man can save you. And you can't save yourself. And when your eyes are open to the truth, what you will understand is that Jesus is Lord. And when you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that he died for you and rose from the dead, you will be saved. You will be saved. To those who believe in his name, to those who receive Jesus Christ, he gave the right to be called children of God. Children of God. You become a child of God by his grace through faith in Jesus Christ. That's the good news. That's the good news. The first step in your salvation is called justification. Justification. You will do some big fancy doctrinal words tonight. Make it look like I'm smart. Justification. Let's turn to Romans. Romans chapter 3. Romans 3, 23 and 24. Romans 3, 23, you know very well. 3:24 is a little bit more obscure. 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But the good news for us, as I just described in verse 24, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. So the first step in your salvation, the first step in your freedom in Christ is justification. What does that mean? It means you are freed. You are set free from the penalty of your sin. You're set free from the penalty of your sin. At that very moment when you gave your life to Jesus Christ, you were forgiven and you were justified. The word justified is so cool because it explains itself. The word justified means, you can say it like this, it's just if I never sinned. It's just if I never sinned. Because you've been forgiven of your sins. They've been washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ. The Bible says they're separated as far as the east is from the west, which is infinite. Infinite. You understand when you're traveling east, you're always traveling east. If you just keep going, you're always traveling east. But did you know if you travel north, you're not always traveling north? You know what happens? Pretty soon you start going south. And God is smart enough to know. He could say that your sin was separated as far as the east is from the west. Not the north from the south. That wouldn't be as cool. But your sins are gone. But listen, when you confess your sins to Jesus Christ, you need to remember this. He washes them away. It's a promise. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And you can leave it there and get up and understand that you are forgiven. by the blood of Jesus Christ. He gives that to you as a gift. You're justified. You're freed. You're saved from the penalty of sin. It's gone. You're no longer under God's wrath. You're under God's grace. Oh, that's great news. And so, I don't want to confuse anybody, but this is kind of an interesting way to think about this. Is turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. 2 Timothy 1, 8 and 9. Therefore, Paul says, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works. You know, you didn't do anything to deserve it, right? It's a gift by grace. Not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. Incredible. So in this sense, I want to use that phrase there in verse 9, who has saved us. In that sense, that moment, this is true, that moment you gave your life to Christ, you were saved. And now you're walking with Christ, and in a sense, your salvation is past, right? It's in the past. You have been saved. But there's a second step to this, because that's just the beginning of your walk with Christ. It's just the beginning of your freedom in Christ, because now you enter into the next step, which is called sanctification. Sanctification. In the second step, sanctification, justified, you've been freed from the penalty of sin. In sanctification, you're being saved from the power of sin. The power of sin in your life. See, before you gave your life to Christ, sin owned you. You were a slave to sin. That's what the song said, right? While I was a slave to sin, Jesus died for me. You were a slave to sin. But now, in Christ, you have been given the Holy Spirit of God who dwells in you, who gives you the ability to say no to the flesh and say yes to the Spirit. He helps you to now live a life of righteousness. You couldn't do that before. You couldn't do that before. Even when you tried to do good before Jesus Christ, it was Isaiah who said, all of our good works are as filthy rags. All our righteousness was as filthy rags, because everything was tainted by your sin. You couldn't do anything good. But now you can, because you have the righteousness of Christ imparted to you. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he made him who knew no sin, Jesus Christ was sinless, the spotless Lamb of God, he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Jesus took our sin, and then he gave us his righteousness. His righteousness. So now, as a believer, God looks at us and he doesn't see our sin. He sees Jesus' righteousness applied to our account. There's an awesome verse about Abraham. Pastor's talking about Abraham. It says Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. Awesome. So now we have the power to overcome sin and live righteous. And what happens is, as you grow, as newborn babes, you're supposed to desire the pure milk of the Word so that you may grow. And as you grow, what you do is you start saying no to sin and yes to the Spirit. And that's a war that you've entered into as a believer. Your flesh didn't go away. You're still carrying that old carcass around. And it can be very frustrating, because your flesh is always craving the old way. Pastor was talking about it this morning when Sarah went back to the flesh. Do it the old way. And your flesh is always trying to. Your flesh is always craving sin. And you, through the Holy Spirit, have to say no. Say no. Instead of giving in to the flesh, we are seeking the fruit of the Spirit. Sanctification. We are overcoming as we grow in Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. says, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Yeah. It's awesome. Do you see how the verb change there? That we have been saved, and we are being saved, because we're being saved from the power of sin in our life as we grow and overcome. And the Bible says, yeah, you're more than conquerors through Christ. More than conquerors. You have the ability through Christ to overcome sin. It involves one very hard step on your part, though. You want to know what that is? Choosing. Choosing. And none of us are going to overcome sin completely in this life. Okay? This is the process that takes place until we go home to be with the Lord. None of us are going to overcome sin completely. The Bible is clear about that. If we say we have no sin, we lie. But you should see growth. As you walk with Christ, you'll see growth and you'll see victory. And there will be things that you'll see that God will help you to shed from your life. The sin that so easily trips you up. Yeah, as you grow, those things don't trip you up so easily. You walk a little more sturdy. As you grow, you won't carry so much of the weight of the world on your back, right? You'll learn to take your cares that are weighing you down and roll them over to Christ. And what happens is you take the weight off, and so that you can run. You can run the race with endurance. We grow in our obedience. We grow in our trust as we're continually being saved from these things. It's beautiful. And that good work that was started in you, Jesus will see through to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. You want a scripture for that? I know you do, Sam. Philippians 1:6. Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. That first day of salvation, that was just the beginning of the work that God is doing in your life. And listen, if you stumble, it's not the end of the world. It's so important. You see, when you stumble, Jesus didn't leave. He promises, I'll never leave you or forsake you. When you stumble, okay, you confess it to God, make the changes necessary so that you don't do it again. And I also have to say this, there are times where we do things over and over again. That is part of our growth. Some things God takes away right away. When I look back at my Christian life, some things God took away immediately. They were gone. And it's like, wow, I don't even want that anymore. Weird. I couldn't even do it if I tried. But then there are other things, and there's a purpose for this, so that you continue to depend on Him. There are other things that take longer to be shed. God knows what He's doing. He doesn't want you to get your head out in front of your skis. I'm thinking of in the Old Testament, when they were coming into the Promised Land, God said, I'm not going to destroy all your enemies immediately, because you wouldn't be able to handle it. You wouldn't be able to take care of the land properly. So we're going to do this a step at a time. That's what's happening in sanctification. You're growing. You're growing in your knowledge of Jesus Christ. Don't ever stop. Keep reading your Bible. Keep asking God for wisdom and understanding. Keep asking Him to help you apply the Word to your life. Keep asking Him to help you overcome the thing that you trip over. Don't give up. This process continues. It's a process. You're not going to reach a spot where you say, all right, I did it. I've perfected the Christian life. No. This is a process. Don't get discouraged, and don't let the devil beat you up over stuff. One of the names for the devil is the accuser of the brethren. He likes to come and whisper to you what a scumbag you are. And you can say, yes, I'll give you that. But Jesus Christ has forgiven me. And I'm going to beat you. He's already beaten. He's still here. But he's going to lose. Let me say this. Because some people have the wrong idea about the devil. The devil is not in hell right now. You understand? He's not in charge of hell, like down there poking people with a pitchfork. That is not where the devil is. The devil is here on earth. When he got kicked out of heaven, the Bible says he was kicked to the earth. They celebrate. It's in Revelation 12. They celebrated in heaven. Woo-hoo! The devil's out of here. And then it says, woe to you. Because the devil has come down to you. And he's full of wrath, but he knows he has a short time. Know this, the devil doesn't think he can still win. He knows he's losing. He knows he's lost, okay? He knows he has a short time. When the guy full of the legion of demons came and confronted Jesus, remember that? One of the things they said was, did you come to torment us before the time? They know. They know they lose. But for some reason that I can't explain, God has allowed them to be here. And the devil causes trouble. And he will come to you, the point I'm trying to make. He will come to you and he will accuse you and try to discourage you. And boy, he can do it. He's smarter than you. And he can trick you. And just things I've heard recently, you know, a word from someone. If someone could say something that you don't like, and the devil could take that and just mess everything up, if you let him. You make a mistake and the devil comes running at you and try to beat you down to the dirt. Don't you let it happen. Confess your sins to God, be cleansed, and get back up and keep running the race. Yeah. Sanctification. We're overcoming sin. We're growing in grace and growing in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. We have been saved and we are being saved. And then there's one more step. And this is the one we're all waiting for. Glorification. Glorification. Glorification is the day that you get to go to heaven. However that happens. If God chooses that your life will end here, you will be absent from the body. And you will be present with the Lord. If Jesus comes back before you die, I believe that there will be a rapture. And he will call out the church to meet the Lord in the air. And at that very moment, you'll be changed. Changed in the twinkling of an eye. And you'll get to shed this old, corrupt, bloated, disgusting flesh. I wasn't talking about shape. I was talking about it's full of sin. It's disgusting. I mean, you ever just disgust yourself? This flesh is disgusting. But the day is coming when you're going to shed this flesh. You're going to get a new body that is incorruptible and immortal. Cannot sin and it cannot die. That's glorification. And glorification is being saved. Okay, we've been saved from the penalty of sin. We're being saved from the power of sin, and someday we'll be saved from the presence of sin completely. And we will get to go to a place called heaven where righteousness dwells. Romans chapter 5, verse 9. Well, you know what? We should just read a whole bunch of this because it's awesome. Let's see here. In a couple minutes left, how far can I go? Okay, read it all. I told Mark we were going cover to cover tonight, Gary. All right, let's read. How about we go chapter 5, verse 1 through 9. How about 1 through 9? The Bible says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We have peace with God. We've got access to God all through Jesus Christ. Not only that, verse 3. Not only that, but we also glory in tribulations. What? Glory in tribulations. Just a quick reminder, don't ever let anybody tell you that the Christian life is a life with no trouble. Right here, we glory in tribulations. Knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, part of your growing. Verse 4, perseverance produces character, and character, hope. Now, hope does not disappoint. See, real hope doesn't disappoint. Real hope doesn't disappoint. False hopes, they disappoint you all the time. But real hope, And by the way, in another place, the Bible says Jesus is our hope. Real hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. That's another benefit you have in Christ, is you have the ability to love. The love of the world is growing cold, but when you're walking close to Christ, your heart will bleed for people. Verse 6, for when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And that brings us to the spot I was looking for, because we read that we have been saved. We read that we are being saved. And we just read here that we shall be saved. We shall be saved from this dark, wicked world. We shall be saved from this ugly... There I did it again. That has nothing to do with how it looks. But this ugly flesh, we shall be saved from these things. And we shall enjoy pleasures at the right hand of God forevermore. That's the freedom that we have in Christ. And if the Son sets you free, you shall be free indeed. Let's all stand. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, oh, thank you. Thank you, Father, for these precious, precious promises. Father, we thank you for giving us your word, sending your word through holy men of God, recording it for us, preserving it for us, so that we can stand here and proclaim the same promises as the apostles proclaimed. We can proclaim the same gospel that the patriarchs proclaimed. Father, we thank you that in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Thank you for freeing us from the penalty of sin. Thank you, God, for your continued work in our lives to help us overcome the flesh, to overcome the devil, to overcome the world, which also attacks and tries to pressure us to compromise. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for the hope that we have, the hope that will not disappoint, that someday, when you see fit, you'll take us home and we'll inherit the kingdom that was prepared for us from the foundation of the world. Father, thank you. And Lord Jesus, thank you for making it possible by laying down your life for us and taking it up again to defeat death. And in the same way, Lord, I pray that while we wait for you, I pray you help us to lay down our lives for your sake and to lay down our lives for the love of our neighbor. Help us to not be ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation. Help us to share it, God, as often as we can, to point people to you. Thank you again, God. You've been so good to us. Thank you for hearing our prayers. And we want to continue to pray, God, that you bless Gary and his family. Please continue to bless his treatments. Even now, Lord, protect him as he's here tonight. Protect him from all of our germs. Please continue to provide for them. Please bless Pastor Angelo. Father, we thank you for his faithfulness to the church, and we pray you bless his health and heal his body. God, we love you. We love you, and we thank you for loving us. Thank you for hearing our prayers. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.